Welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help. And now, we turn it over to your host, Sarah Dokowitz.
Hello and welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that provides independent and technology agnostic advice to help organizations through their digital transformation journeys. Regardless of where you are in your digital transformation, whether you're just starting out or in the midst of your journey, this show covers everything you need to know to make your digital transformation successful. My name is Sarah Dokowitz and I'm your host, and thank you so much for joining us today. Today on the show, we'll be discussing how to overcome supply chain blockage. And here to offer his expertise on the matter is Adam Cheatham, the Director of Strategy and Transformation at Third Stage Consulting Group. Now, together, Adam and I are going to discuss what supply chain looks like in the 2020s, why demand can grind an organization to a standstill, and how to overcome the backlog that comes with a blockage. So I want to welcome back Adam to the show, as it's always a pleasure. But many of our listeners are familiar with Third Stage Consulting Group, but for those of you joining us for the very first time, here's a quick introduction. Third Stage Consulting Group is an independent ERP consulting firm that's known for giving clients technology agnostic advice in the ERP space. They have decades of combined experience that spans verticals across the board, including manufacturing, which is something we'll be touching upon in today's episode. So without further ado, let's get started. I would like to begin with the supply chain issues that we've seen in 2020 and 2021. So what's going on with the market right now, and what were some of the most memorable supply chain blockages that we've seen since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic?
I think I know the one that comes to the forefront of everybody's mind is a great toilet paper shortage of 2020, and all paper products in and of themselves. But there have been other supply chain challenges over the last year and a half that I think are worth recognizing in addition to that one. One of them is the Evergreen or Evergiven ship that clogged the Suez Canal for quite some time, that's being held for somewhere around the ballpark of $960 billion by the government of Egypt, that blocked the Suez Canal, which is a pretty significant blockage in supply chain, from a global perspective. We also have the supply chain challenges with distributions of the vaccine for COVID-19, and how do you make that type of thing happen that quickly? Not only creating enough supply to get to everywhere it needs to go, but also how to get it to the end users, the folks that want and need to be vaccinated. You have the masks that were in short supply early in the pandemic that have provide another great example. And then most recently, you hear a lot about the ketchup shortage that's going on. And it's, yep. Supply chains will always be disrupted. And that's a part of the deal. Even before the supply chain, with some of the tariffs that were going on with China specifically, I had plenty of clients who were working through those types of challenges and trying to find other sources of products and raw materials. So supply chain can be something that you can be heavily dependent on, and without having some options and being too heavily dependent on any one type of thing, you can really have some real significant disruptions.
Yeah, definitely. And there were so many good examples just in the past year, like you mentioned. And I must admit, my sister's like really upset about the ketchup one, that's for sure. But as far as supply chain blockage, it can really happen to any organization, so whether it's large or small. So How do these issues affect global organizations, and how is the experience different for small and medium-sized businesses? Does size offer any advantage here at all?
I would say planning offers an advantage, while organizations that are large tend to have more opportunities for planning and contingencies. If you're, say, for example, heavily dependent on the Suez Canal, what do you do when that's blocked by a ship that's run aground? Large organizations are likely to be able to say all of the goods that are stuck on the Ever Given and every ship behind it. No, it's not ideal, but we have other ways of sourcing those types of materials, whereas a smaller and medium-sized business may be more tied to what's on the one boat. So there are some advantages there, but from a perspective of the best way to protect yourself, I would say that being prepared and having plans for more than one vendor supplying your most critical raw materials is really the best approach.
Yeah, absolutely. Always helps having those two or, you know, few options to choose from when things like that happen. Crazy. And yep. When it comes to being prepared for supply chain management, anticipation is key. But anyone can really predict disruption to the degree that we're seeing right now, can they? Like, what vulnerabilities became evident in global manufacturing and distribution since the beginning of the pandemic?
Yeah, I'd say that supply chain disruptions are a fact of business when you're dependent on an extensive supply chain, right? So could you anticipate that they would be to the extent that they have been with some of the issues that we just recently talked about? No, I mean, how often are you trying to distribute a vaccine to hundreds of millions of people within the span of 100 days? And how often are you really having this type of a panic over certain supplies? That doesn't happen frequently. But at the end of the day, businesses rise and fall every day. And so if you're dependent on any one particular business for a particular raw material, that makes your level of exposure to this type of disruption more significant. So I would say that knowing your lead times, knowing what vendors you have that are potential substitute vendors for your most key raw materials and having a backup plan for that is really important, so that maybe not the degree as far as the isolated nature of supply chain right now. No, there's nothing that you can plan. You can't plan for a pandemic, but you can say that in pandemic times and in normal times, that your supply chain is really going to be need to be responsive, because the tariffs, for example, that happened before the pandemic, and there was plenty of foresight in being able to say these are coming. There's a risk that these could impact your business, and there's a need to plan around that. So, knowing the environment, knowing your raw materials, and how it is you get things from vendors to into the hands of your customers is really important, particularly from a lead time perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Great points. And how can predictive analysis tools help organizations anticipate the future? Like, how important is getting better data, and how can organizations embrace flexibility moving forward after a blockage?
So I would say that the more important part of this is just being prepared, right? And that's what predictive analytics can do for you. Advanced demand planning and advanced MRP is really something that can help out quite a lot. And having a system that understands your lead times. And so when you have a system that is able to respond and say, this is what we expect our volumes to be, maybe it's because you're a seasonal business, maybe because your lead times are long, because you're getting things from across the ocean, or whatever that might be, your tools can help you see that farther in advance. So when you're planning to have an influx of orders because of one factor or another, you just signed a big client or this and that, they can help you plan for what your lead times are going to be and make sure that you have the right inventory levels to accommodate any type of pressure that comes from demand. From a blockage perspective, the best way to avoid that is in being a victim of a blockage is to just have as many options as you can at your disposal and be covered in a way that is provides a lot of different variables for you to seek out and to keep your supply chain running.
Awesome. Great advice. And there's so much that, you know, for our audience to unpack just in this segment alone, which is good because we have to take a quick short break. But when we return, Adam and I are going to dive into potential solutions for clogged supply chains and how new technologies may be able to prevent it in the future. So stick around. The best is yet to come and we'll be right back.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology-agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
Welcome back to the Digital Stratosphere podcast. I'm Sarah Dogovic speaking with Adam Cheatham of Third Stage Consulting. And before the break, we talked about the current supply chain situation and how it's affecting the global economy. Now that we've identified the problems with supply chain management, let's talk more about some of the possible solutions. So let's jump back in with some potential fixes to supply chain blockage. So what would you say are some of the best short-term fixes to supply chains at a standstill? And how about more long-term solutions that organizations can implement over time?
If you're already in the middle of a blockage, you just kind of have to figure out a way of getting through it most times. But to get you to the point where your risk of experiencing a blockage and needing to react in the short term, really making sure that you have a diversification of vendors, where particularly in your most important materials and products, so that you're not entirely dependent on one person or one partner to be the integral part of your supply chain. The other part is seeing and knowing and having some contingencies, right? So let's say if you're in a short-term blockage and you know that you have a surplus of supply on your side, that's a good thing. Carrying too much inventory isn't what you want to have, but you should be protected against some of those things where if we ran out of ketchup tomorrow and you are a restaurant that sells French fries,
we're doomed.
Exactly. making sure that you've got some lead time and some time to be prepared for that so that you don't just walk into work tomorrow trying to sell French fries without ketchup because you're running too lean on your ketchup supply. So having a backup inventory of the most important things is also a good thing. Try to stay flexible in what it is you're doing. You know, maybe Heinz ketchup is your favorite, and you're just gonna have to grin and bear it when you get the Kroger brand because you just don't like them as much. Or maybe you need to be flexible more on the fact that yeah, you like to get your things by boat, but all of your goods are stuck on the Ever Given that's been seized by the Egyptian government. And all of a sudden you need to be responsive and say, I need these goods here tomorrow and be able to have them flown in instead. So those types of things. You can also implement an ERP with a more extensive supply chain management module on it to help you see a little bit better into what your supply chain looks like. A lot of those tools come with what-if analysis that can be helpful to you in that, well, what if I got all of my goods from this vendor or that vendor? How many, and what's my risk if I stop getting my goods from this other vendor and those types of things? So making sure that you have all the bases covered, I think, is the best way of putting it, in that knowing where your supplies are coming from and how you can accommodate a blockage that will happen at some point here or there so that you're prepared for and able to respond.
Yeah, so much great advice and great solutions too. It's super important to be able to stay flexible and then also, you know, to almost like have enough backup, but like not too much. Like you say, you don't want to have like an overflow of like backup either, because that's not a good thing to just have things sitting on the shelf. So let's talk about current offerings on the market right now. Who are your top three supply chain management systems and why?
So there are two different ways of thinking about supply chain management systems. So one of them is with the ones that come with ERP. And of the ones that come with an ERP package, Infor's Nexus, that comes with Cloud Suite and is a potential counterpart to that, is a very, very good supply chain management system. It's a complete system that allows for that supply chain visibility, and it's really getting a lot of emphasis in the supply chain space, as is Oracle ERP Cloud with their SCM Cloud products. Oracle is one of the biggest companies in the world for a reason, and supply chain management is something that they do very well. They're particularly strong in the area of analytics and business intelligence, so seeing things from a farther perspective is really a good thing. From a perspective of pure supply chain software that's not dependent on ERP, Manhattan Associates has a spectacular supply chain program that is really built to accommodate a lot of the most complex supply chain problems. It's not tied specifically to any particular ERP program, so that may be a positive, that may be a negative, depending on where you're at, but it really can do quite a lot for your company. As a bonus in that similar space, you have Blue Yonder and HighJump, that are two additional products in the supply chain management space that are also very strong and worth evaluating.
Awesome. Cool. A lot of options for sure. And on the flip side of that, is the notion of a technology-based silver bullet flawed logic when it comes to successful supply chain management? And other than purchasing or implementing new technology, what other strategies should an organization consider?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And on the whole, technology should be a tool for enabling your business. So technology as a silver bullet for the supply chain is never going to work. Technology will never be a silver bullet for anything. So that is a flawed logic that technology will do everything I want, need to manage my supply chain, because you're going to have to respond to certain things. Disruptions in supply chain are not things that software can really predict, and it's not something that software can respond to without human input. MRP is a great example of why it is you need to have a human input into your supply chain software, because MRP is going to tell you all of the suggested purchase orders that you should make, but only you and your people know what the best way of running the business is and whether or not this is the PO we want to issue versus that one. And having that human touch point is really very important. So making sure that your people are involved, your people are enabled with technology to manage your supply chain well is really the key.
And due to the pandemic, many organizations are freezing capital and putting large projects on hold for the time being. How can organizations use their current processes and technology to fix a block system or other supply chain problems?
Just by finding more partners, more vendors that can supply the things that you need, and having a bench, if you will, is really the best way of accommodating that. Give yourself lots of options. The last thing you want to do is figure that out because somebody, your key partner went under or is part of a massive supply chain blockage. It takes time for those relationships to develop. And by the time you develop that relationship, somebody else may have already taken all of the inventory from that supplier that you want. And you may end up with quality issues, and those can be unexpected. And you just want to be prepared, and you want to have as many options as you can, and be ready to exercise alternative plans if you have to.
Yeah, super great advice. And like, relationships are super, super key. Even if you might not be using them today, it's always good to kind of like keep in touch with them, whether, you know, something like this happens again. So very important. Now, let's talk about diversifying vendors. What are a few critical steps to rebuilding a supply chain that's less dependent on a single vendor? Are there any other pointers that you can give organizations to help them avoid bottlenecks in the future?
Yeah, start this before you have a bottleneck. if you're talking about diversifying vendors and having a number of folks that you can go to, having the relationships in place is important. And having those relationships in place in a way that they're easily accessible and easily predictable. When you have a supply chain disruption, the amount of predictability that you lose because of that disruption can be compounded if you don't have another somewhat predictable alternative. So the first really key steps are making sure that you've done all of your sampling, all of your due diligence, and created all of your relationships with a number of vendors, and knowing how it is you're going to increase volume with one if you have to. So knowing what those are, knowing the lead times with those vendors and having them vetted out, and knowing the quality that you can expect from them as well is important. Supplier scorecards are something that you can look at in a software system that can help with that, and understanding that the balance between how much one vendor is going to charge for what quality of what material with what lead time, and what those variables look like for one vendor versus another. And when you start to say, all right, my favorite vendor is going to be offline for a little while, what are my options? Do I need a vendor that's faster? And maybe quality is something that I can sacrifice on, or maybe I'm willing to pay a little bit higher price because there is a disruption. Those are the types of things that you want to be able to think through and see and make good, strong decisions on when you're trying to figure out how to get your supply chain back up and running.
Amazing. Such good advice. And it's always awesome to hear your take. So I really appreciate you for joining us today and sharing your expertise on supply chain management. But before we sign off, are there any additional resources out there that you would like to share with our listeners?
Of course. We're always happy to help. So as far as additional supply chain resources, feel free to check out some of our blogs and some of our videos on LinkedIn. Follow us on LinkedIn and on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel and feel free to reach out to me or anybody at Third Stage directly should you need to have some help and some advice on these topics. Happy to be a sounding board.
Thank you so much, Adam. Really, really appreciate your time and for speaking with us today.
Of course. My pleasure.
Of course. And thank you all for listening to our episode this week of Digital Stratosphere. Again, I am Sarah Dokovic, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.